Good evening, family. It is truly a gift from God to be back this afternoon. I say that because for me, I do see it as a blessing. Y'all, please try to understand, when I come up here, I'm not the person that put on the show. Trust me, I would not be here if I did not feel this way. I wouldn't do it. There's a lot of things I can do, but I wouldn't do this. I thank God for allowing me to be in your life and you be in mine. You just don't know how important that is to me. I grew up. This is important to my portion of Scripture. We grew up in Willard, North Carolina. My mother left when I was 2. Some of you may have known that. My father raised 5 of us. He did. And the one thing in my life that I've always wanted was to have a family, a whole family, a mother and a father. I wanted that more than anything in the world. When I went to school, I guess the correct term was I was kind of envious of some of my cousins and stuff because their mother and daddy were taking care of them, doing things and holding 9 yards, and my daddy was leaving at 6 and coming home at dark. But through all of that, I had no idea what God had in store for me. While I wanted to or tried to make things in my life normal, there was just no way it was going to be normal in comparison to that, because they had a mother and father. And that was something that I wanted. Which brings me to here. I pursued a lot of things. Let me tell you something about this before I get to my passage, because it has a profound impact on it. I pursued a lot of things. When I finished school, I turned down a scholarship to Johnson C. Smith University. I joined the Army because my 4 brothers was in there. I finished right there. I had a scholarship in science. I finished science with 144 average from the high school. I didn't want to deal with any of the other stuff. I was one of them kids that went to school. I really didn't bring my books home. God allowed me to have that kind of mind where I could just look at it and could go through it and pass the test. I did real good. Did real good. I did not know that was God moving in my life. Had no idea. I looked at my career status around there, and textiles and GE were what was going on, and the textiles was going away. J.P. Stevenson, they were leaving. I said I didn't want to do that, and I certainly wasn't going to be a farmer. I had no idea that God was moving in my life. And I realize now that the people knew I was different. Listen to me now. The whole time I was a kid coming up, you know, there were certain scenarios that would come up, and my daddy would take me with him, or I would get involved, and I would solve the scenario, and it was just occasional for me. It had gotten so blatant until my daddy's boss man would tell him to take me to work with him, to work his machines. That's a fact. I kept the machines running for him. I didn't see nothing special. It was normal for me. That's the gift that God had given me. I didn't see that. But I knew that I didn't want to stay in that life. I didn't want to do that. And I wanted to have a family. And I looked at things. I said, well, maybe Daddy had done some things wrong. That was a poor assessment of it because I didn't know what Daddy was going through. Whether you realize it or not, at that time in 1976, in 1970, we had integrated schools for the first time. That was a big move for them. That was a big move for them. And as I went through the school and got to where I was, it wasn't until we integrated and we got together, you had some genuinely good people. See, God put things away in your life, genuinely good people. My science teacher was Mr. Arthur Rosario. Every test he gave me, I aced it. I even aced the extra credit that he gave to me. He said, Grady, you don't you're in the wrong place. You shouldn't be here. That ain't mean nothing to me. I just want to get out of here. So the recruiter come up there, Sergeant Bemis. Sergeant Bemis, you know they have that Army program. And he come down, he says, you're not old enough. You're 17. You have to be 18 to join the Army. He says, do you want to join? And my daddy's philosophy was, listen to me. You can do anything you want, but you're going to have to leave here at 18. You're going to have to leave. You got to get your own stuff at that point. Very simple. Very simple. And again, not knowing how important God was and what he was doing in my life, I said, well, I'm going to go into the Army. My other four brothers done it. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to do this. I went in the Army. And if you're not familiar with it, it usually takes about 2 years for every promotion that you're supposed to get. 2 years for every promotion. That's about how it works, except for private. I went from E to E5 in 18 months. I went from a private to a sergeant in 18 months. I matched every one of the NCO boards that they gave me. I did not know God was in my life. I did not know. It's normal for me. The United States Army in 85 sent me a letter, said, we've pre-screened your records and you are qualified to go to warrant officer school. We need you to send in your paperwork. I want to be a drill sergeant. No, you send your paperwork in. I went to drill sergeant. I went to warrant officer school. We had 160 people in our class. 160. 12 graduated. I was one of the 12. That's warrant officer school. Technically, the Army looks at that as a technical expert. You specialize in one thing. You like Kentucky Fried Chicken. You do that right. You know how men are. Got involved with a woman, got married, the whole nine yards, and you didn't have God in your life. That didn't work. That fell apart. And while I was in school, believe it or not, they tell you up front that you're here for 6 months. You're going to go from nothing to this in 6 months and be an officer. They're saying if you came here to learn, you won't pass this course. You should already know it. What we want to do is just channel it for you. Warrant officer school. While my fellow students were studying, trying to make sure they can understand the actual principle and theory of an automotive internal combustion engine, I was looking out the window to see what the MPs coming to get me. I'm telling you the truth. I can show you the reference to it. I took the test, and that test is what they call the killer. That test is supposed to be your first automotive test in that school. I took that test. That test is supposed to eliminate the attrition rate was something like 75%. We went through the test. And I was the guidon bearer. I wasn't even the class leader. I was the guidon bearer in the class, standing right there in the front. I had a bad or not a good attitude. I didn't. And I was standing there in class, and me and this TAC officer, my guy that was supposed to be our officer, that sergeant, not sergeant, he was a CW3 that was supposed to be in charge of our class. And me and him was bumping heads, seriously. Seriously bumping head, and I just felt like it was a question of when he throw me out of here. It ain't how, it's when he gonna throw me out. We went over, took the course on the engine, and the class or the test was a generator. It was a reciprocating generator, four-cylinder, air-cooled. You got to take the magneto off the table, crank it up, and have it running in 7 seconds, running it, 7 minutes. It hurts like it's supposed to charge. That's what you got to do. That class, like I said, that test would eliminate well over 60%. They knew it was the killer. That's the automotive class there. You didn't have anything but the TM, a pair of pliers, a screwdriver, and a multimeter. That's all you had right there on the table. I took the course. My TAC instructor didn't know that. We got back out of there. And his thing, they knew we got to be within 15% of every one of the students. They knew that this test here is the one that eliminates. We finna get somebody out of here. That was a big test. We finna get somebody out of here. My TAC officer walked over to my class leader and said, how many of them got, because nobody had ever aced that test, how many of them had got, listen to this, he started off with 80-some percent. He raised a hand. I'm standing there holding TAC on. He says, how many of them got 70%? They raised a hand. How many of them got 'Cause God had a plan for me. God had a plan for me. Didn't know that. I didn't get no that sometimes. That's all that what God did. That capability. So I had to hurry up and come to grips with what it takes to be an officer in the United States Army. After getting into the army, he sent me straight to 87th Airborne Division. What I was doing. 87th Airborne Division had something like a 40-some percent divorce rate. Yes, it's high because you spend 70% of your time deployed or on deployment or on mission site. I went to 87th Airborne Division, and as I stand here before you, I went home more times on leave from Germany than I could support Bragg. What I was willing to do to be an officer in the United States Army was put up with all of that and do all of that. I was willing to do it. I was willing to do it. For the reward at the end. Not knowing that I had no reason to be in here, not realizing how much God had influenced it, not realizing that jumping out of an airplane, all the opportunities that I had to die. Not realizing that I would go to war. Not realizing that you're going to have some that go there and come back. I realize that for whatever reason, God was moving in my life. And I didn't know if my future was together. I realized that. It wasn't until my third tour in Germany. And I was in the 32nd AFCON, that's Army Air Defense Command. They shoot Mike Hurt missiles and the Patriot missile system as I came back. They were rotating me, flying me back and forth from Darmstadt, Germany to Saudi Arabia to inspect Patriot missile system. And it wasn't until I was there that I realized that I was on a wayward path. I wasn't doing what God intended for me to do. My career, piece of cake, just like that. I would get promoted before everybody, the whole 9 yards. Flying, very important, status the whole 9 yards. But right here, was empty. Because me and my son just seemed we could not get that family that I wanted to have. So I decided that I would go to church. I did. It was bothering me that bad. It was bothering me that bad that all of this happened for me and I didn't do anything to earn it. I didn't do anything for it. And as I got to studying, I realized and found out that the more I got into it, Jesus Christ, my Lord, is the total package. He's your total package. You can supplement these other things and think that's going to get you where you need to be, but it's not. It's not. And before I read this passage to you, I want you to ask yourself, are you willing to take the total package? So as I got into it, I realized that there was a lot of things that I couldn't account for. God allow it to happen for me. God allow it to happen for me. And what, the more I got into it, the more I realized that I needed it. I changed. My attitude, my moral perspective on life, it was never really bad. I was always good with integrity, but the other side of it, I wasn't. I want to be like you, Chief Staff. You the man, you hit, you this, you that, there, you NATO inspector, you flew, you jumped out of airplanes, Bronze Star, Legion of Merit, Army Archons, you name it, I got it. Expert shooter, never smoked, never drank, the whole nine yards. You say, this guy got to be good. No, sir, I was wrong with you. Let's shoot. But God kept me through all that. I changed. And I'm saying this to you because when I bring this passage to you, you need to understand that there's a price to discipleship. There's a price to discipleship. God, Son, Jesus is the total package. You don't need to look anywhere elsewhere. It ain't going to come from a diploma. It ain't going to come from college. It ain't going to come from a physical... Yeah, I'm telling you, that ain't where it come from. So when you come into church, try not to. I know I talk a lot about it. Try not to get wrapped up into being or looking what the Christian's supposed to look like. That ain't in this Bible. I don't think it is. Is it, Tim? I ain't never seen nothing about how you need to look. It ain't in here. It's about how you need to live. For your salvation. It's about how you need to live. So, with that, I'll be coming from Matthew 10, 32, and 42. I had to get to that point. All I'm saying to you tonight is that you're going to need to get to this point. 32, I'm going to Matthew 10, chapter 10, verses 32 through 42. When you have it, say amen. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace on earth, to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own house. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Are you ready? That's it. The lesson teaches the
what your life was, path was, but you know what? I believe so. And all I'm asking you tonight, are you sincere about who? That's what God intends for us. That's what Jesus said. You're going to have to make that hard decision in this. That's going to put you at odds with your loved ones. That's going to put you at odds with your friends. It's going to put you at odds with everything you know about this world. Are you ready to make that sacrifice? Not to then, are you ready? Are you ready to make that decision, to make that choice? The cost of discipleship is high. We are in the process of choosing our elders now. The cost of discipleship is high. Don't come any less than what God expects. That's what I'm looking for. With that, thank you so much for listening to me. I know it sounds like a rattle, but I want you to understand the practice of what we just hear from our ground there. I thank God for getting me to this point. I don't drive 41 miles an hour. I thank y'all for having that influence in my life. So if there's anyone that have a need now, decide to change, or you're ready to make that change, we ask that you come now as we stand and say,